Give me your grace, O Lord, to speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I do want to thank the rector of St. Martin's for the invitation for Eileen and myself to join you for this first week of Lent. And it's wonderful to come back to this great church and to share with you for the next few days. And thank you so much for the warmth of your welcome. So warm indeed. Last night we were sort of astonished by the change in climate here. Usually I associate Houston with sunshine, and a very kind person here lent us two overcoats, which we are enjoying. So thank you very much indeed. And one of the things I'm very thrilled about coming here at this season of Lent is that Lent is so important. It has the possibility to change us. And I hope you will make the most of this wonderful feast. And it is a feast of spirituality. A short while ago, we were on holiday. And in a spa, we saw a man with a bright coloured T-shirt on. I looked more closely and realized he wasn't wearing a T-shirt at all. In fact, his chest and shoulders were bare. What I thought was a T-shirt was nothing more than an enormous tattoo that covered his arms and his chest and shoulders. Why do people tattoo themselves? Is it because they think it looks attractive, sexy, manly, womanly, or what? Personally, I think tattoos are ugly, but the very fact that so many people have them these days shows that I'm in a minority. Tattoos are very difficult to erase, aren't they? But for many people, it belongs to their kind of identity as a person. It seems to say, I am special. I'm an individual. I want to stand out. And if you are wearing a tattoo, don't be embarrassed by what I've said. You see, in a moment, we're going to have a tattoo on our forehead. But mercifully, of course, the ash can be washed away very quickly. It perhaps only relates to Ash Wednesday. But when we go deeper, we are faced with the question of meaning. What does the ash represent? In what way can it be, for us, a permanent identity with our Lord Jesus Christ? And it is an identity mark. It may only last a few moments, but if you are prepared to walk from this church into our society with remains of that on your forehead, it's saying that man, that woman, is a Christian. But let's press home the question, why ash? Of course, ash relates to fire. It's a very important Old Testament symbol. You remember the Genesis story with the cherubim guarding the way to the tree of life with a flaming sword. Think of Moses and the burning bush. So ash, you see, is the other side of judgment. It's what remains when the fire has consumed and burnt. Death. Ash means death. It really is a very significant tattoo. So the poet Francis Lightbourne wrote these magnificent words, "The smudge of ashes on the brow, the charge, remember, man, that thou art dust and shalt to dust return. These are the words, the dictum stern of Elohim, relayed in rite the ages down to hearts contrite. Remember then, O Ichabod, that dust thou art, gold dust for God." And it's that last stanza that says it all and makes us realize that we are far more than dust, because God pours his love upon us. We can never simply be the remains of his wrath or the refuse of 70 years or more of living on planet Earth. This morning in the first service, I was profoundly moved when I was ashing people. Wonderful, lovely, young and old people. And suddenly it came to me that we are not merely dust. We are God's destiny as well. We are valuable, bought with a price. And that takes us to what Lent is all about. And this day, Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent. Because if you and I think that Lent is no more than an obligatory and temporary abstinence from the enjoyable pleasures of the flesh, we shall miss the whole point of Lent. Lent is not a temporary drinking of tonic without the gin, or tomato juice without the vodka, or sea bass instead of steak, or a 40 days abstinence from alcohol, along with an advance invitation to close friends for an almighty binge on Easter Sunday. No. The moment we view giving up as the point of Lent, we are in danger of missing what it's about. So another poet, Robert Herrick, offers us a better way. Is this a farce to keep the larder lean and clean from the fat of veals and sheep? Is it to quit the dish of flesh, yet still to fill the platter high with fish? Is it to fast an hour, or ragged to go, or show a downcast look and sour? And Robert Herrick is saying there what we heard in the gospel, Jesus' word. Don't make a show of your religion. Don't look gloomy like the hypocrites. Keep your good deeds secret. Display the joy of the heart. And then Herrick says in verse 4, no, 'tis a farce to dole thy sheaf of wheat and meat unto a hungry soul. In other words, the whole point of Lent is to grow as Christians and to give to others. Of course, it is entirely possible that this Lent the Lord is going to say to some of you and lead you into giving up something as a mark of your walk with him. Giving up alcohol for Lent, fasting a little in order to spend more time with God may be a proper discipline for you. Just as in the same way, putting aside some money for the poor, the homeless, or to designate a little more for the wonderful work of St. Martin's may equally be the right thing to do. But in every aspect of this, it's gratitude that must be the central word. Gratitude is at the heart of Lent. Gratitude at God's love. Gratitude for God's forgiveness. Gratitude for the abundant lives we live these days. Gratitude for family life, your children, parents, loved ones. Gratitude for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. Eileen and I have just finished reading a remarkable book. It was written first in French under the title El Sapelet Sarah. It's, in the English version, it's Sarah's Key. It's the true story of the roundup of Jews in Paris in 1942. A 10-year-old girl, Sarah, and her Jewish parents are taken away to an internment camp and then on to Auschwitz. But Sarah had a little brother, and before being collected by the Nazis, Sarah hid her little 4-year-old brother in a cupboard, and she only had the key to it. And she gave him some water and a torch and said, I will be back, I promise. But there was no chance. She was taken away with her parents. And then she suddenly realized it's going to be very difficult to return to rescue her brother. And she was away for weeks. She's heartbroken. She promised that she would return and rescue him. She had the key. But when she went back, she found only his body. He was dead. And she went back to join her new family, a peasant couple who had rescued her. And the story ends for Sarah there, but 60 years on, an American journalist called Judy, married to a Frenchman in a marriage that actually is struggling, she is given the task to track down the story of Veldiv, which is the roundup of the Jews. And she stumbles on this story of the Jewish family and the little boy remains found in that flat. And she finds out with total astonishment that it belongs to her husband's family. And the story so consumes Julie that she gives her life to finding out more about Sarah. She's pregnant, but her husband, who's now 50, doesn't want a child at that age, he says. It ends in divorce. But the story of Sarah's love, her plight, her struggle to find her little brother, rouses in Julie a profound admiration for that little girl. And she sets out to find out what has happened to Sarah herself. I won't tell you how it ends, but we'll say this, that the baby she is about to bear and give birth to, she's going to be called Sarah. It's a story of transformation. It's the story of how someone's love can ignite a love and passion in your own. And it brings out that spiritual lesson once again, that from the bitterness of death, new life can emerge. Yes, you see, Ash Wednesday and Lent carries a very stern message. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. Dust is God's estimate of our mortality, but with it comes the love of the Savior and the hope of resurrection. 40 days ahead of us lies Easter, which is the mirror image of Ash Wednesday. Let's use this Lent to grow a little more, to value a little more life and its preciousness, to rejoice in a God who says, "You are gold dust." In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.